The parade that we participate in on this Sunday always gets me thinking about other parades that I have seen and taken part in. The Pride Parade, the Santa Claus Parade, the St. Patrick's Day Parade. And these are great, but there's nothing quite like a small town Canada Day Parade. Before moving to Toronto, I lived in the Rocky Mountain town of Canmore, Alberta for 8 years, and Canmore does a Mwah Canada Day. It starts off in the morning with a big pancake breakfast in the street out front of the Legion, and the mayor and the town councillors are there slinging sausages, and there's cowboy coffee so strong that just a whiff would wake Lazarus from the dead. And then afterwards, after the townsfolk are sufficiently carbed and caffeinated, there's a break for a few hours for the people to go off and do Canmore things, like climb mountains, or day drink rye whiskey, or wrestle grizzly bears, or protest the wrestling of grizzly bears. And then in the early afternoon, the multitudes would find their way back down to Main Street, and the pipe and drum band could be heard echoing off the faces of the mountains, and the parade would start. And there would be that old-timey fire truck with its woo, woo, woo wail, and the Shriners with their big hats and their comedically small cars, and the high school cheer squad throwing each other up into the air. And of course, there would be the politicians, the now de-sausage-greased mayor and councillors, and the MLA and the MP. When I lived in Canmore, the MP was a man named Myron Thompson. And I don't know if you remember him, but he was a very colorful character, and he was absolutely in his element on Canada Day. White cowboy hat and a Texas bow tie, riding atop a white Cadillac convertible like a rhinestone cowboy. A big man waving a teeny tiny Canada flag and periodically jamming his fist into a bag of hard candies and flinging them with a flourish out into the crowds. It was a very good show and a lot of fun, and we all left feeling very patriotic, humming "O Canada" for the rest of the day. And I'm sure we all have memories of parades like this, that feeling of celebration and ceremony. And without a doubt, the parade that we do here on this day with our palm waving and our triumphal words and music has elements of this. But our challenge now, here at the start of Holy Week, is to see and to feel how this parade, the parade of Jesus into Jerusalem, is something quite different. Something else is going on here. We are told that Jesus has come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, a Jewish pilgrimage festival that would have seen the city's population boom from 40,000 to 200,000 people. And Matthew says that with Jesus' arrival, the whole city was in turmoil. Matthew uses a strong Greek word here for turmoil that literally means was shaken or trembled. And the large trembling crowd spread their cloaks over the ground and waved palm branches as they shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David." Now, the Jewish annotated New Testament says that the cloaks and palm branches were meant to connect Jesus to the kingship of Israel. The term Son of David was also a clear messianic reference that hoped for a new political leader, a new king. And this moment and this expectation should not be viewed in isolation from the nation's history. A millennium before, believing that the confederacy of tribes and judges was insufficient to protect them from their enemies, the people of Israel pleaded to the prophet Samuel to appoint a king to rule over them. With permission of God, Samuel did so, but he also conveyed God's warning that the king would take their sons to plow his fields and wage his wars. He would take their daughters to be his cooks and his bakers. The king would give their fields and vineyards to his courtiers. He would tax their harvests and take the best of their cattle, and eventually everyone would become his slave. But human history has demonstrated over and over again that when people are afraid, when they are desperate, this kind of bargain with the strong man in exchange for the promise of protection is not seen as such a bad deal. And this same sense of desperation was very likely felt by many in the streets of Jerusalem that day amongst the people living under the oppressive thumb of Imperial Rome and its puppet and its puppet government. Matthew tells us that the crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David." Matthew tells us that the crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David." And again, the language used here is telling. The Greek word for cry out is an onomatopoeia that imitates the croak of a raven and is used to express desperation. It is the same word that Jesus himself will soon use when he cries out from the cross. The people were crying out, "Hosanna." And while we might think that Hosanna might mean something like hooray, Hosanna actually means save us. Save us. So I hope you are getting the picture here. Rather than ceremonial and celebratory, the situation here in Jerusalem is of a city trembling with fear and anticipation, and of desperate people croaking like ravens into the streets for someone to save us, save us, save us. In their book entitled The Last Week, the biblical scholars Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan posit that there were actually two parades that entered Jerusalem on that spring day. The one we are familiar with from the east, largely composed of common people following Jesus, who was riding a donkey or a colt, or perhaps both, Matthew isn't clear. And then on the opposite side of the city, from the west, there approached the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, who entered the city on a war horse that at the head of a column of imperial cavalry and soldiers. He came from Caesarea Maritima for the purpose of maintaining law and order during the potentially tumultuous days of Passover. The ceremonial show of force was central to the establishment and continuation of the Pax Romana, the forced peace provided by typical strongman means of violence and fear. Indeed, as the Catholic scholar Father John Deere points out, in those days when the Roman Empire went out and conquered another land in the name of their god Caesar, killing and raping and destroying along the way, the soldiers would come back parading through the land, crying out the announcement of the gospel according to Caesar, the good news of the latest victory by strength of arms of their god king. It is into this historical context. It is into the messianic expectation of an end to this type of oppression that Jesus enters the holy city. Save us, Son of David, by any means necessary, save us. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is very different from the gospel of Caesar. This is a different parade. There is something else going on here. Jesus comes not on a war horse, but a donkey. He has not come to be the kind of king described by Samuel. He will not overthrow Caesar and his henchmen by military means. He has already abdicated this kind of lordship. You may recall from the beginning of our Lenten pilgrimage where the devil offers Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in exchange for his loyalty, and Jesus responds, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Jesus comes pronouncing not the kingdom of men, but the kingdom of heaven. not the ways of Rome, but the ways of God. For those of us who proclaim Jesus as Lord, this day reminds us that this lordship is not defined by strong man might, but by servanthood, by gentleness, by humility, by mercy, by forgiveness, and by the self-giving acts of generosity and compassion that are the true qualities of God's domain on earth as in heaven. This parade is meant to be different. Something else is meant to be going on here, and yet history has shown, and we are seeing in the news all the time now, where the gospel of Jesus Christ has been and is being conflated with a patriotic, chest-thumping version of Christian nationalism, where the hymns of the church harmonize entirely too easily with the Star-Spangled Banner and O Canada. And yes, as much as we like to look down our noses at our cousins to the south, this is part of our history and our culture here as well, even in the United Church of Canada. We had Phyllis Earhart here for worship last week, who was a former church history professor at Emmanuel College, and in her book, A Church with the Soul of a Nation, reminds us that the formation of the United Church of Canada, by an act of parliament, no less, was an effort to form a national partnership between the church and the state in the building up of a so-called Christian society. As it says in our 1925 Basis of Union, it shall be the policy of the United Church to foster the spirit of unity in the hope that this settlement of unity may in time, so far as Canada is concerned, take shape in a church which may fittingly be described as national. A national church for a Christian nation within a worldwide Christian empire. But then and now, Jesus is doing something different. For his first followers, it would become very clear very soon that he would not be the kind of king that anyone expected him to be. This Savior would not be the ruthless and domineering Caesar imposing peace by any means necessary, but as the physical embodiment of self-giving love. Christ does not come to bully or belittle or name call on social media. His cause is not the same as that of the religious zealots or violent insurrectionists or politicians flinging fear and candy to the crowds to shore up support for the next campaign. He does not rule from above as the strong man on a war horse, but as one of us, from amongst us, embracing our mortality, feeling our pain, and rejoicing in the wonder of being alive. Jesus saves not through sovereignty, but through solidarity. He does not play by the rules that seem to rule this world. He does not pander to the financial, military, and political power brokers. His authority comes from somewhere else. He is doing something else. And for those hell-bent on empire building, this is what makes him so dangerous. He is a different kind of king, bringing a new kind of gospel. And soon now, so soon now, this is why he will be betrayed by the crowds and those closest to him. This is why he'll be tried before Pilate and found guilty of sedition. This is why he'll be executed on a Roman cross. Jesus is doing something different. He is offering something different from the empires of this world. And this is why we still tell his story. This is why we still march in his parades and gather in his name, because maybe, just maybe, in this time when so many of us are struggling, he is the one we have been hoping for, longing for, crying out for. Even as the city trembles around us, maybe, just maybe, this humble pilgrim riding on a donkey is the one who can save us. Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. the empires of this world, the political, financial, military, and religious empires of this world have proven over and over again to be self-serving, oppressive, and cruel. We need a different way. And as a hopeful manifestation of this way, we need to be not another empire, we need to be the church. We need to be Christ's incorruptible body that lives and leads as he does, with humility and kindness and mercy and forgiveness and sacrificial love. And if we don't know how to do this, if we don't know where to start, we have this next Holy Week to practice, to journey with those first disciples and to enter the upper room with Jesus and allow him to wash our feet, and to feel the pain and the fear as he has seized in the Garden of Gethsemane, and to stand in the crowds as he is sentenced to death, and to be with the women at the foot of the cross, and to anoint his body with oil and with spices, and to sit with each other through the long, dark night waiting for the dawn. We have this next Holy Week to live the story once again, to walk in the ways of Jesus, and to encounter the true power of a different kind of king, the servant Savior who has come for us as one of us. Amen.